Okay, this is Blood and Circulation from Chapter 5 of the textbook. Large multicellular animals need a circulatory system to transport substances to and from the cells of the body. Blood is pumped round and round a closed circuit made up of the heart and blood vessels. As it travels around, it collects materials from some places and unloads them in others. In mammals, blood is important for transporting oxygen from the lungs to all the other parts of the body, carbon dioxide from all parts of the body to the lungs, nutrients from the gut to all parts of the body, and urea from the liver to the kidneys. Hormones, antibodies, and many other substances are also transported by the blood. It also distributes heat around the body. Single-celled organisms, however, do not have a circulatory system. One-celled organisms obtain oxygen through the surface membrane of the cell. The area of the cell surface determines how much oxygen the organisms can get, which is the supply rate, and the volume of the cell determines how much oxygen the organism uses, the demand rate. The ratio of supply to demand can be written as surface area over volume, otherwise known as the surface area to volume ratio. Single-celled organisms have a high surface area to volume ratio, but large animals cannot get all the oxygen they need through their surface. To overcome this problem, large organisms have evolved special gas exchange organs and circulatory systems, like gills in a fish or the lungs in mammals, like humans. One of the main functions of a circulatory system in animals is to transport oxygen. There are two main types of circulatory systems in animals. There's the single circulatory system, where the blood is pumped from the heart to the gas exchange organ and then directly to the rest of the body, and the double circulatory system, where the blood is pumped from the heart to the gas exchange organ, back to the heart, and then to the rest of the body. An example of a single circulatory system is in a fish, and an example of a double circulatory system is in humans and most mammals. There are two distinct parts to a double circulatory system. The first is the pulmonary circulation, pulmonary meaning concerning the lungs, in which blood is circulated through the lungs where it is oxygenated, and then the systematic circulation, in which blood is circulated through all other parts of the body where it unloads the oxygen. A double circulatory system is more efficient than a single circulatory system. Humans have a double circulatory system, and this comprises mainly of the heart, which is the pump, the blood vessels, arteries, veins and capillaries, which carry blood actually around the body, and the blood, which is the transport medium. You need to know the structure and function of the human heart, which is probably best to do by looking at a picture, but the human heart is a pump, which pumps blood around the body at different speeds and at different pressures according to the body's needs. Blood is moved through the heart by a series of contractions and relaxations of the cardiac muscles in the walls of the four chambers. These events form the cardiac cycle, which is as follows. Blood enters the atria. It cannot yet pass into the ventricles because the bicuspid and tricuspid valves are closed. The walls of the atria contract. This raises the pressure of the blood in the atria, which forces open the bicuspid and tricuspid valves. Blood passes through these valves into the ventricles, which is the lower parts. When the ventricles are full, they contract. This increases the pressure of the blood in the ventricles, which closes the bicuspid and tricuspid valves again. Blood cannot return to the atria. The ventricles continue to contract, and the pressure continues to increase. This forces open the semilunar valves at the base of the aorta and the pulmonary artery. Blood is ejected into these two arteries. The pulmonary artery carries the blood to the lungs, and the aorta has branches that carry blood to all other parts of the body. As the ventricles empty, higher pressure in the aorta and the pulmonary artery closes the valves again, and these blood vessels. The cycle then begins again, as the atria start to fill with blood. The structure of the heart is adapted to its function in several ways. Firstly, it's divided into a left and a right side by the septum. Secondly, the valves ensure that blood can only flow in one direction through the heart. Thirdly, the walls of the atria are thin, which means they can be stretched to receive blood as it returns to the heart, but can contract with enough force to push blood through the bicuspid and tricuspid valves towards the ventricles. Fourthly, the walls of the heart are made of cardiac muscle, which can contract and then relax continuously without becoming fatigued. And the cardiac muscle has its own blood supply, which is the coronary circulation system. When our hearts beat, we have a heart rate. This heart rate is usually about 70 times a minute, but it can change according to circumstance. When we exercise, for example, our muscles release more energy. They need an increased supply of oxygen for aerobic respiration to deliver the extra oxygen. Both the number of beats per minute and the volume of blood pumped with each beat increase. The blood our heart pumps around is carried by, three main vessels: arteries, veins, and capillaries. Arteries carry blood away from the heart to the rest of the body. The blood that has been pumped out by the ventricles puts a lot of pressure on the walls of the arteries. These walls must be able to give under the pressure and allow their walls to stretch. They must also have the ability to recoil and help push the blood along. Arterioles are small arteries which carry blood into organs from the actual arteries themselves. Their structure is similar to large arteries, but they have a larger proportion of muscle fibers in their walls and are a lot smaller. Veins carry blood from organs back towards the heart. The pressure of this blood is much lower than in the arteries. It puts very little pressure on the walls of the veins. Veins must be able to allow the blood to pass through easily and prevent it from flowing in the wrong direction. The third is capillaries, which carry blood through organs, bringing the blood close to every cell in the organ. Substances are transferred between the blood in the capillary and the cells. To do this, capillaries must be small enough to fit between cells and allow material to pass through their walls easily. The blood has a composition that you need to know, and it's actually a complex tissue. Blood is formed of plasma, which is the liquid part of the blood, red blood cells, which are biconcave disc-like cells with no nucleus, in which there are millions in every millimeter cubed of blood, white blood cells, which are in the form of lymphocytes and phagocytes, and platelets. The function of plasma is that it carries the blood cells around the body, carries dissolved nutrients, hormones, carbon dioxide, urea, and also distributes heat. Red blood cells are for the transport of oxygen because they contain hemoglobin. Lymphocytes, the type 1 of white blood cell, produce antibodies to destroy microorganisms, and phagocytes engulf bacteria, and platelets release chemicals to make blood clot when we cut ourselves. The three we need to know most about are red blood cells, white blood cells, and platelets. Red blood cells are highly specialized cells made in the bone marrow. They have a limited lifespan, after which they are destroyed in the spleen, and they only have one function, which is to transport oxygen. Red blood cells contain hemoglobin. This is an iron-containing protein that associates with oxygen to form oxyhemoglobin. When the concentration of oxygen is low, oxyhemoglobin turns back into hemoglobin, which can be written as a reversible equation. Hemoglobin plus oxygen goes to oxyhemoglobin, which can go back the other way. As red blood cells pass through the lungs, they load oxygen. As they pass through the active tissues, they unload oxygen. White blood cells, there are several types of them. Their main role is to protect the body against invasion by disease-causing microorganisms, such as bacteria and viruses. About 70% of white blood cells can ingest microorganisms, such as bacteria. This is called phagocytosis, and this is done by phagocytes. They do this by changing their shape, producing extensions of their cytoplasm called pseudopodia, which surround and enclose the microorganisms in a vacuole. Once inside, the phagocyte secretes enzymes into the vacuole to break the microorganism down. So it sort of takes it into itself, then once inside, uses enzymes to break it down completely. This is why it's called phagocytosis, because that literally means cell eating. Approximately 25% of white blood cells are lymphocytes, and their function is to create chemical cells called antibodies. Antibodies are soluble proteins that pass into the plasma. Pathogens such as bacteria and viruses have telltale chemical markers on their surface, which the antibodies recognize. That's their main job. The antibodies stick to the surface of antigens and destroy the pathogen. They do this in a number of ways. However, some lymphocytes do not get involved in killing microorganisms straight away. Instead, they develop into memory cells.
Memory cells make us immune to a disease. These cells remain in the blood for many years, sometimes a lifetime. If the microorganism reinfects, the memory lymphocytes start to reproduce and produce antibodies so that the pathogen can be quickly dealt with. A person, however, can be given artificial immunity to a disease without actually ever having it. This is called vaccination. A person is infected with an agent that carries the same antigens as a specific disease-causing pathogen. Lymphocytes recognize the antigens and multiply exactly as if that microorganism had entered the bloodstream. They produce memory cells and make the person immune to disease. The third type, component of the blood you need to know about are platelets. Platelets aren't actually whole cells, but fragments of large cells made in the bone marrow. If the skin is cut, exposure to the air stimulates the platelets and the damaged tissue to produce a chemical. This chemical forms a network across a wound in which red blood cells become trapped. This forms a clot which prevents further loss of blood and entry of pathogens. The clot develops into a scab which protects the damaged tissue while new skin grows. And that's the end of chapter 5 in the textbook.